Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
So as we're going into New Year's, I was thinking, what do I need to share with my church family? We're going to begin a series on Ezekiel, but not today, because it's a holiday day, and I thought that perhaps this gave us the opportunity to talk broad picture about this entire year. So in talking with folks the past several years, I know that we've been through some stuff in 2020. How many of you ready to be done with 2020, right? You know, we had the pandemic and all that stuff and the old dumpster fire. I have a coffee mug that says 2020 with a dumpster on fire, and it's one of my favorite coffee mugs. 2021, though, we thought everything was going to come back to normal, and it kind of wasn't. So I remember hearing people saying, I can't wait to be done with 2021. I just can't wait to, pull that calendar off the wall and throw it away, right? And I know some people in 2020 are like, I can't wait to rip that calendar off the wall and chuck it away. I understand that. That can be when we have difficulties, when we have difficult times. But I've heard it said so many times, next year has to be better. And here's what I have to tell you. The truth is, no, it doesn't. But it doesn't mean that you can't be, because you absolutely can. You see, there's nothing magical about tearing a calendar off of a wall. The real question for us is, how can we have our souls prosper no matter what comes our way? Because if we understand Scripture correctly, it's not about the events that happens. It's about where we are in Christ. The great thing about Christ followers, my dear church family, is because of Jesus, we actually can rejoice in the midst of difficult times and in hard times, because we have a hope that endures and persists beyond this earth. Amen? We have a hope that is for eternity. So the real question for us is, how do we put ourselves in position that our souls will prosper? And if you've read the Beatitudes, which we're going to get to later in the message, it is full of paradoxical truths that let us know this: having Jesus in our lives does not exempt us from suffering, from trials, and from tribulations, but rather, having Jesus in our lives promises that when we go through those times, we don't go through them alone. In fact, God is with us. That's what Christmas is about, is God is with us, and he actually wants to work with us and walk us through those times for his glory. And let me just say this. He's not telling people to suck it up and to callously endure, but rather to invite his presence with us on life's journey, no matter what the road may bring. He will be with us. He will not forsake his children. Even through pandemics, even through political divisiveness, which I'm tired of, through cultural shifts, which I'm equally tired of, through a climate that is becoming less and less hospitable to Christ followers, guess what? He's going to be with us. Amen? So story after story in the Bible, when we look at the Bible, when we read the Old Testament, when we read the New Testament, they prove God's faithfulness to his covenant, even when his people struggle to be faithful to the covenant that he invites us to walk in. So today I want to talk to you about spiritual success in the new year. And I want to give you some tools as we approach the new year although we cannot control many of the circumstances around us, we cannot control others. How many of you wish that you could control others? Look, I had to give up on that several years ago. as much as I think I can, I can't control a lot of the circumstances around me. I can't control others, but I can control myself. In fact, that's a spiritual fruit, the fruit of self-control. So what does self-control look like to a Christ follower? Self-control to a Christ follower does not look like they have the wheel. Self-control to a Christ follower is yielding our actions, our decisions, our priorities, and our emotions to Jesus. The spiritual fruit of self-control is not I'm a control freak, is I have yielded. Everybody say yielded. I have yielded control of my life to God, to God's Spirit that now moves in me and through me. And so here's my tip. Number one thing, if you want spiritual success in the new year, is to A, embrace change. Everybody, embrace change. How many of you love change? I mean, we love change. You pay with a 20, you get some change back. I love change. I have children. I never get change, right? Wrong type of change. Embrace change. Luke chapter 9, verses 23 through 26. I always am drawn to this passage and our next passage on New Year's Day. I'm always drawn to this. It says, if anyone, let's all read this together, gang, because this is important. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Let's pause right there. If we want to come after him, if you want to follow Christ, which is what being a disciple actually means, a Christ follower, it means this. If we have to, A, deny ourselves. How many of you are really excited about that? If you want to follow Christ, you got to deny yourself. That means the things that that our carnal man wants, we got to put in the back burner. So just ask you a question here about denying ourselves. How many of you were satisfied with your prayer, your fasting, and your study in 2022? How many of you think, man, I killed it. It was awesome. I couldn't have gotten any better. I just marked all my goals. Anybody? Let's change it like this. Does anybody have room for growth in your prayer and fasting? Pray fast. It's not an adjective. It's talking two different things. Prayer, fasting, denying yourself to lock into God and studying the Bible. Three simple things: prayer, fasting, and studying Scripture. If you have room for growth in 2023, I just want you to raise your hand and just let everybody know I need to step up to the plate in 2023. I need to push the plate away in 2023. Okay. These are some simple things. Embrace change. If anyone's going to come after me, let him deny himself and then take up his cross daily and follow me. Verse 24, for whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. What is that telling us? If we want to follow Christ, something's got to go. And I got to tell you, in reflection of 2022, I have a list. Does anybody else have a list of some things that you think shouldn't be following you into 2023? Newsflash, they were the same list that you had at the end of 21 and 20 and 19. And I could keep going all day long. I got coffee. It's the same list. Okay? If you're gonna come after him, there are some things. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. To embrace change, if you want spiritual success, there are some things that gotta go. For some of us, it's selfishness. For some of us, it is we are so at the pinnacle of our lives. We are so self-centered and self-focused, you won't grow spiritually anymore until you deal with your selfishness. For some of us, it is not selfishness, it's slothfulness. We are busy about a million things, but not about God things. We have room in our lives for so much stuff and so much junk, but we don't prioritize Christ. Newsflash, you will not grow spiritually in 2023 until you embrace change and prioritize God. I'm not trying to be legalistic. I'm trying to let people know that having Jesus as Lord of your life means that he is Lord of your life. Okay? For whoever would save his life, forever who would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake, there are some things that have to go. For what does it, then he tells us, you know, kind of breaks it down. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? The reason that verse is there is Jesus is letting us know that when we are earthly minded, when we are so locked into this world, we forget to prioritize eternity. Oh, it happens all the time. It happens all around. Verse 26, for whoever is ashamed of me and of my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. Gang, we have to lock in that embracing change is essential for us to grow in 2023. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18, the Apostle Paul, picking up on this very same theme, says, let's all read this together. Ready? 1, 2, 3. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Here's my question. Are you different? Are you continually getting different? Some of you need to embrace the fact that you're just going to be weird. You're just going to be a little different. A Christ follower is not a friend of the world. Now, I know that that is so foreign. I know that right now, one of the poisons, and I believe a false doctrine, it's heretical teaching that has infected the prosperous church in the United States, in particularly in Western culture. One of the things that has affected us is this thought that somehow we are supposed to be friends with the world. We're supposed to be loving and we're supposed to be compassionate. Yes. But we're not supposed to kowtow and we're not supposed to change to be like the world. That is salt that loses its saltiness. It's not good for anything. Embrace being salty. Embrace the fact that if you're a Christ follower, he has called you to walk different. You will change. And I know that I've still got lots and lots of room to change, and all of us do. Okay, so as we go into this year, how can we allow that to happen? One of the greatest roadmaps that I found is Psalm 1, which I want to challenge everybody in this room to memorize. Memorize Psalm 1. Memorize Scripture. Psalm 1 is so easy to memorize. In fact, we're going to break down the whole psalm here today. Spiritual success in the new year. Let's look at Psalm 1, because we have to set goals. For spiritual success in 2023, you're going to have to embrace change and set some spiritual goals. Helen said she wasn't big into New Year's resolutions. I totally agree with that, but I think we should make goals. We should make goals, because we set measurable goals for health, we set measurable goals for wealth, we set measurable goals for organization and for time management. We should set some spiritual goals, measurable spiritual goals. I know someone's saying there, how do we set measurable goals for spiritual growth? Well, and how can relationship with God be measurable? I know that's what you're thinking. How do we measure? What are the metrics? Well, if you want a stronger marriage or family, you set goals to facilitate relational growth. If your marriage is suffering, you say, we need to spend more time together and quality time. We need to reflect on the value of the relationship. We need to lead our heart. Everybody say, lead your heart. I tell you, that was the most destiny-altering concept for me to understand, is I don't have to be a slave to my emotions, because I'm an emotional person. And my entire life, I believed the lie from Satan that said I had to be led by my emotions. My emotions are real. I don't have to deny them. I need to invite Christ to be Lord of them. That was free. I don't have to have my emotions be my Lord. I can invite Jesus to help me thoroughly understand and vet the why, and then he offers me hope in the midst of them. And that's just not negative. That's positive as well. Okay? So what we do is we set these things, and it all comes down to priorities. So as we look at 2023, it's not about how many times you come to church. It's about how much you're becoming the church. Amen? Okay, so let's look at Psalm chapter 1. Spiritual success in the new year. Blessed is, verse 1 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and all that he does, he prospers. Doesn't that sound good? You're halfway through Psalm 1. Now let's break that down. What does that mean? How does that give us a blueprint for spiritual success in 2023? There's some really good stuff here. Verse 1, blessed is the man who walks not in what? The counsel of the... Who do you take advice from? Google. I Googled it. That means it's true. I got a problem, so I Google it. Google tells me what I should do. But yeah, you think I'm mocking. That's a lot of what happens. People are turning to technology. People are turning to what is popular. What do most people say? Spiritual success in 2023 is a result of the counsel that we embrace. So I want to ask you, who are your counselors? Who are your counselors? Because it says here, blessed, happy, approved, okay, blessed is the man, okay, the person, man or woman, okay, the person who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. Are you taking wicked counsel? Nor stands in the way of sinners. That doesn't mean that you're blocking sinners. It doesn't mean that you're standing in the way so that they can't get to sin. It means you're standing with them. So here's the deal. Quit taking ungodly advice and quit sinning. There you go. There's an easy one for 2023. Quit sinning. Well, that was easy, Pastor. Yeah. Or sitting in the seat of scoffers. What do we scoff at? What do we scoff at? The Lordship of Jesus Christ. We scoff at the fact that he's intimately involved in all of our lives. Now if we talk about the counsel that we embrace. I know right now in our society, disinformation is all the rage. We live in a time and a culture that actually is teetering on the concept of rejecting the notion of absolute truth. Okay? Newsflash. For all of you people who like to say, well, you know, I just look to what science says. You ready for me to make you upset? Science is no longer the cultural authority. Now, for a Christ follower, it has always been God. It has always been God's word. That was the authority. And for our culture, since the Enlightenment, it has been science. That which is observable and testable and provable, that is what is truth. Newsflash, that's no longer. We have turned the corner in our culture starting around 2005. And in just 20 years, just two decades, it has gone just off the reservation here, okay? We're off the rails here, gang. It is no longer science as the cultural authority. It is psychology. And what does that look like? Psychology has displaced science as the authority of our culture. It's no longer observable, provable, it's feelings. Because feelings are now treated as facts. Feelings are now treated as facts. That's why we can say that gender is a construct. That's why we can say that something, now I know someone may get mad, but the truth is, we have now decided if I feel something that is now not only not observable and not provable, we take it as truth. Here's the danger. This is a result of something far deeper, gang. We have stopped belief in our being moored to an absolute truth. Because I got to tell you, feelings are not truth. I feel many things, many times, that are not true. And if I based my life on feelings, it's a house of cards. Guess what? That is not good counsel. That is wicked counsel. Wow. People stay up too late? look, feelings change. I gotta tell you, man, I have two teenage daughters. I gotta tell you, feelings change. Feelings change, right? How many of you, your feelings change? You like this 1 minute, you don't the next. Movies are based on it, right? Here's what doesn't change: God's truth. God's truth does not change. In fact, the Bible is not silent on this. In John 17:17, Jesus prays this for his followers that are living in the Word. Jesus says this: sanctify them, which means set them apart by the truth, for your word is true. Spiritual success in 2023 is connected to us not embracing the counsel of the wicked, or sitting or standing in the way of sinners, or sitting in the seat of scoffers. And here's what we should do instead. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law does he meditate day and night. The change we need to embrace is moving our counsel to receiving it from God's word. Embrace God's word as his counsel. That's pretty simple, okay? And what happens if we're going to meditate on this word? That means we have to be willing to listen. That means we have to stop. We have to eliminate distractions. We have to tune our ears, just like you're tuning in a radio station, to turn our ears towards God's word. When we do this, we're able to discern truth from untruth. And that's very difficult in the world in which we live. And here's the effect that it's going to have on us. Verse 3. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and all that he does, he prospers. Now, I just want you to know this. That word prosper doesn't mean, once again, that we're exempted from difficulties, that we're exempted from the challenges, the trials and tribulations of this world in which we live. It doesn't mean that things always go our way. It does not mean that things will always go our way. It means that we will go God's way. Okay? Tough times are going to come in 2023. But if we relate this to the New Testament, the Beatitudes: blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Where's their comfort? It's going to come from the truth of God's word. Blessed are the meek, for they're going to inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness' sake, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they'll be called the children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets that were before you. My church family, I need to encourage you. Check your counselors. Who do you receive? Who has the authority to speak into your life? Does God's word have that authority? Or, because here's what I fear. I fear that so many people approach scripture, and I've seen this done in Bible studies throughout my life. People read the Bible, and the stuff they agree with, they highlight, and the stuff they don't agree with, we just ignore. Hello? I'm telling you this: embrace the counsel of God, the whole counsel of God. Understand that we can delight in his law, we can meditate on it day and night, we prioritize it, we bathe ourselves in his word, and this is the response: we will prosper in all we do. Second thing to understand about this is that, as I talked about, change will separate us. It will make us different. In verse 4, spiritual success will separate us, and it will differ us from the world. Look at verse 4. The wicked are not so. So all these things that I just read about not walking in the counsel of the ungodly, not standing in the way of sinners, and not sitting in the seat of scoffers, but meditating on God's word, and we're prospering in all that we do. Here, the wicked are not like this. So if we embrace godless counsel, if we embrace wicked counsel, here's what happens. We're like the chaff that the wind drives away. How many of you are tired of the culture? Flip-flop, 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 flip-flop. It's like looking at a beach in California, flip-flops. I'd stretched on that one, sorry. I need more coffee. Look, that's why. Because they're like chaff. They're just blown around by whatever wind happens to be that day. Verse 5, therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the law, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. My church family, we have to embrace our weirdness. We have to embrace the fact that we can be different. When good times come, praise God for them. And when hard times come, and they will in 2023, look for His strength and His counsel first. When temptations come, we know that we're not alone. He is near to help us stand and to deepen our walk with Him. And in everything is a chance for us to deepen our walk with Christ. Spiritual success in the new year. Let me just wrap it up once again. Set spiritual goals. Set spiritual goals, not just discipline, but relationship building. Try to view prayer and study and worship and service and fellowship and fasting as relationally strengthening activities. Make them measurable. And here's your measure. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are fruits that will come when we don't walk in the counsel of the wicked, when we don't stand in the way of sinners, when we don't sit in the seat of scoffers, but we delight in the law of the Lord. Check your counselors. Check your counselors. I that's probably the most important thing. Who has your ear? Who has your ear? And when we do this, we can be transformed. We can become the church. We can go beyond religion into relationship, and we can become the church of Jesus Christ that is passionate and powerful. That's what we can be in 2023. That's what we can be in 2023. Passionate and powerful for Jesus Christ. That's what I want. Anybody else? Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Let's pray. If you would join me, please. Father in heaven, I just thank you and I praise you for your word to us today. And Father, we know that we stand in the midst of a time where there's so much change around us, but it's not the change that you're calling. You're not calling us to change to reflect the culture, but you're calling us to change to reflect you to the culture. God, I pray that we would step up to the plate, that we wouldn't run away from that calling, but Lord, we would embrace that holy calling to show what it means to be a Christ follower, to not worry that when we are different from the culture around us. Lord, I pray for individuals right now, here and those who are streaming online, who need to reassess and reevaluate their pursuit of you. Lord, help us not to just fall in just to dead habits, but Lord, I pray you'd breathe new life upon them. Help us, Lord, just as we've read today, to check our counselors, not to take the counsel of the wicked, but Lord, to meditate on your law. I pray, God, that we would feel an invitation and a drawing from your Spirit that wants to bring us close. Empower those, Lord, who are struggling. Give grace to those who are tired. And Lord, help us be just like that valley of dry bones, that when you breathe a word upon it, you can transform us to be a mighty army. That's what this generation needs. We thank you and we praise you for all of this. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's children said.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary, For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.